You're listening to Dr. Anne West on Truth from the Source, bringing you cutting-edge interviews discussing important life, health, environmental, and metaphysical issues that could affect the well-being of our lives. Join me every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on bbsradio.com.
Hello, Elise.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Good, thank you for coming on Truth from the Source. I want to let our listeners know that we're going to be hearing a very interesting interview today, and it's with Elise Marie Collins, and she is the author of Chakratonics, Essential Elixirs for Mind, Body, and Spirit. Elise, I understand your background has been primarily in yoga, as a yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
A writer and a spiritual counselor.
Yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You're a graduate of the Berkeley Psychic Institute and has written for Yoga Journal and other alternative health magazines. That's fantastic. And currently you're writing for the Psychic Reader.
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. So you're a busy lady.
Yes.
And aren't we all so busy right now? I mean, we have to keep ourselves healthy and strong and fit. And I can only imagine that Chakratonics is a beautiful and wonderful guide to helping us stay fit in such a busy time.
Yes. That's why I wrote it.
That's why you wrote it. So let's, we're going to talk a lot about the different tonics that you've prescribed here. But before we go into that, I want to give our listeners a little bit of background about chakras, about our health, and why it's important to look into natural ways to create and strengthen our immune system, to strengthen our immune system and create better health.
Mm-hmm.
You've written in your book that before science dominated medicine, people used to know, whether it was intuitive or whether it was passed down, that all things had energetic consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happened to us? Why did we lose track there?
Well, I think part of it in modern life, it doesn't really, I want to say, stimulate intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to cultivate it. Although, on the other hand, the planet seems to be, the vibration of the planet is changing, so a lot of people are awakening.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 100 years, because of technology and many other factors, I think people became disassociated with their intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, they were also disassociated with the cultivation of food, with growing food, with having fresh food. And we now assume that we just get food from a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
That's where it comes from, or from a bottle or a jar.
Mm-hmm. We don't grow very much of our own food anymore, do we, as individuals?
No. And if you're in nature, you see and you feel energy in nature.
Mm.
And that is, we're surrounded by, you're in a different place, but in San Francisco.
I'm in Hawaii.
Yeah. There's a lot of concrete here, and you have to make a conscious effort to go and be around nature and things that stimulate the energy body and that alternative awareness, I believe.
I think you're right. You know, just seeing the green, lush, tropical garden here in Kauai, it stimulates so much in me. I feel the oxygen that all these beautiful plants are giving to us, and
mm-hmm.
and the colors from the flowers and everything. Every time, and the ocean, the blue of the ocean, it's all extremely stimulating.
Yeah.
And I can imagine being in a concrete jungle where it's gray and dark and, you know, black tarmac and gray concrete.
Mm-hmm.
It takes away so much from us, doesn't it, from our life?
Yes. I mean, I have to make an effort to, for me personally, to go and be in nature or to walk and do things that reconnect me to the earth plane.
Yes. And so years of this, 100 years, let's look at the past 100 years, like you mentioned, have taken us so far away from nature that many people, have never even been into this kind of nature that I'm living in now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's becoming rarer and rarer on the planet to be able to find it.
It's true, sadly.
So it's affecting us in different ways. And your book, Chakra Tonics, it's not just about the tonics that are going to help balance the chakras, but I like the way that you've gone into explaining why we need them, what's going on with them, and how we can re-energize and reconnect to that part of ourselves. So let's take a look at the chakras themselves. The word chakra, is that a Sanskrit word?
Yes, it's a Sanskrit word that means wheel.
Wheel.
Mm-hmm.
A spinning wheel.
It's a spinning wheel, yes.
Uh-huh. And let's look at that system, the
mm-hmm.
chakra system. Can you go into that now and tell us, because, you know, we hear about the chakras. We hear about this kind of a word, a throwaway word.
Right.
Oh, my chakras are blocked. But, you know, I don't think most people even really realize what they're talking about when they're actually referring to the chakra system.
Yeah. Well, the chakras are an interface between the spirit and the body. That's how I interpret them.
Uh-huh.
And there's 7 major chakras, and they are along your spine, from the base of the spine to the top of the head. That's their location.
Uh-huh.
Although they don't exist in physical reality. So they're in the energy plane, to point that out, because there's no way, if somebody wants to quote-unquote prove they exist, they don't exist in that reality that a table, a chair, a plant, or dirt
uh-huh.
exists in. They exist
uh-huh.
in another dimension.
Uh-huh.
But they exist, to me, that dimension is very real. So that dimension is the dimension that I call it the unseen world.
Yes.
And that's the dimension that I think that we get out of touch with.
Yes.
Our intuition is out of touch with. So I can go through the different chakras or...
Yes, I'd like you to do that. I just okay. wanted to ask you a question first
mm-hmm.
about what you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that for the layperson not familiar with the chakra system or with the fact that this is an unseen energy field or fields that are at play, whether we believe in it or know it or not, it's working just like radio waves, really. I mean,
exactly.
We can't see them, but we know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say that this has actually become known in society? I mean, from the sages and saints of the way in the past, they knew about this. How do you think it came to be that we know about them?
I think that they were very in touch. Well, there was rishis who were in touch with, they were seers, and so they were the ones that saw beyond the physical.
The
and,
seers?
Yes, they were seers, and the Sanskrit word is rishi. And
oh.
they mapped things out for people. Maybe uh-huh. not everyone was involved in seeing beyond, you know, there was always work to do in the physical world. We need to take care of families and cultivate food. But there was a class of people called the seers, and they would go and energetically look at things. They'd look at animals, and that's how yoga began. They looked at animals, how they moved, and they
oh.
created poses.
Uh-huh.
And the seers saw the chakras, and... there they were. And now, in modern life, they've been correlated with the endocrine system, which to me is also very fascinating because the endocrine system is the ductless glands in our body, and they send immediate messages. So the immediacy of the energy body plays out in the endocrine system.
I found that fascinating, actually, reading that in your book. Now, the endocrine system, that's the glands that make all the hormones for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically runs our entire life.
And they're messengers. And the other thing, is that they're still discovering things about the endocrine system.
Uh-huh.
And I search things on the internet every day, and there's still things that are mysterious to us about them. And sometimes things that 10 years ago science didn't understand, now they understand, like about the thymus gland, which is in the heart.
Uh-huh.
Heart center.
Uh-huh.
And there's still confusion about this center. So some people think it's dormant. It could be more powerful, and that's our heart center.
Uh-huh.
Because some people's thymus glands are not as large as others.
Uh-huh. So what are they saying about that?
Well, I can't exactly, I don't have it in front of me,
uh-huh.
But there's some people think that now they know that the gland, it does send out, it creates the killer T cells, but there's a lot, I think there's certain people that the gland gets very large, like if you have a certain kind of disease, but some people it never expands, like there's potential for the thymus gland to become much more powerful than it is. That's my understanding of it.
Uh-huh. And so it would behoove us to strengthen that gland.
Exactly. Yes.
And strengthen, and we can do that now through the strengthening of that chakra, that specific chakra, the heart chakra.
The heart chakra, yes. Okay. Do you want me to talk about each chakra?
Yes, that would be fascinating.
Well, at the base of the spine, at the perineum, is the root chakra. And this is the chakra associated with the earth element.
Uh-huh.
Each chakra has a symbolic color and an element. So the symbolic color for the earth chakra is red.
Okay.
And this chakra, it's the chakra, if you're not connected to the earth, you feel spacey, you feel spaced out. It's also the survival center. So it's sometimes associated with the adrenal glands because the adrenal glands are associated with fight and flight, or fight or flight.
Uh-huh.
But the adrenal glands are actually up a little bit higher. They're not exactly at the root. So sometimes people, there's some confusion about which gland the root chakra is. It may not have a gland. The second chakra is the sexual creative center, the center of procreation. So it's the sex hormones, so ovaries for women and testes for men. And that color is orange.
Okay.
And the element is water.
Okay.
Water. And, pardon?
Water.
Water, yes. Uh-huh. That's the water center.
Now, when you say that, you know, the element that it's connected to, how do we use that knowledge? Like with the root chakra that you had first mentioned, with the earth being the element, and then water being the element for the sexual chakra, how is that used in, you know, in say balancing them? How do you use that element?
Yeah, I see it as a property. And actually, one famous author, Harish Johari, he said that the ancient Indians saw the world as the playground of the elements. And I love that thinking, the playground. So it's not just, nothing is static. They never saw anything as static. So everything was, you know, the earth is playing with air and ether, and the water is playing with light. And so everything is constantly interacting. And the other thing about the elements is the root is the most dense. And then when you go up to the top, it's very fine. So you think about, we need the dense part of reality. We need to eat. We need to be, sheltered. We need that physical element. We need water. We need all of these things. We need inspiration, which is the upper chakras. So they all play together in sort of a symphony, if that makes sense.
Okay, so water is the element of the sexual chakra.
Water, and the color is orange.
Okay.
And then you go to the belly, which is fire. And that's the power center. It could be ego. Some people could be if you're overly egotistical, you might be stuck in this chakra. But when you have a balance there, you have incredible internal power. So your power is coming from a deeper source, not from force, but from finesse, when this chakra is in balance.
Finesse. I like that word.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the heart chakra.
And what color is that?
Oh, red. I'm sorry. Yellow.
Okay.
And then the heart chakra is green.
Okay.
And these are all the colors of the rainbow. So if you look at a rainbow, or you think, some people call our spirits the inner light. So I think of the chakras as an organizing system for our inner light, and you can filter your light through a prism and create a rainbow.
Okay.
So the heart chakra.
The heart.
It's green. And the element is air.
Okay.
And this is where things start to change a little bit. The lower three chakras are called the khanda or the bulb, and they're supposed to be like the cooking pot, which begins to cook us up into higher stages of enlightenment.
I've often heard with spiritual teachings, I've heard, you know, let's keep it above the first three chakras, you know. Because I guess the real spiritual teachings start to take hold when you're maybe more active above the first three chakras.
Yes, I believe that's true. I think you need to work out your issues in the first three chakras. I think that's very important because you do need to be connected and rooted.
Yes.
Because if you're only in the upper chakras, if you haven't worked out those lower chakra issues, that can be a problem in a spiritual pursuit. But, yeah, so I think that that's where we need the balance. Once you've worked out those issues, then you can go on to the more enlightening, deeper issues.
Okay, so we're in the heart, and we've got the element is air, and the color is green.
And I was speaking about the thymus gland. So the thymus gland is the gland that helps us with unity. And the heart, upper lungs. I haven't really talked about the physical associations with each chakra, but there's so much with each chakra. I could talk on and on. I just like to keep it a little bit simple in the beginning because it's almost overwhelming to just go on and on about each thing.
Yes.
With the chakras. So the heart and affinity. I think of this center as your affinity with yourself, your affinity with others. And when you're in balance with affinity, you have affinity for yourself, and then you can extend that compassion to others.
So if you're out of balance in your heart chakra, you would probably be feeling anger.
Anger. Anger can also be in the belly chakra too. And I think sometimes in this chakra you could get depression.
If you're sad, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of sadness and hopelessness, despair.
That's when you know that you need some help with the heart chakra, if you're feeling those emotions.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we start to go on to the throat chakra, which is the element is ether, and the color is blue. And ether is a very interesting element.
Yes.
Because it's a little finer than air. And one yoga teacher described it as the vibration that's carrying sound.
Interesting.
Or another spiritual teacher described it as, if there's someone who has lost their sight, physically lost their sight, and they have it restored, they actually, this is a true medical fact, when their sight is restored, at first they can't see dimension. They just see everything like a flat photo. So this teacher said that that's what the world is like without ether. It's flat.
So ether gives things dimension,
depth. And it's the chakra of media, expression, eloquence, and it's associated with the thyroid. And the thyroid governs metabolism. The thyroid's also a very interesting gland, and it's shaped like a butterfly, and I think that's very symbolic also because the butterfly is a symbol of transformation.
Yes. So with the throat, obviously communication is extremely important to keep it in a healthy state.
Yes.
So if you're not communicating your truth, let's say.
Yes.
You might feel, then you could be inhibiting your thyroid.
Exactly. And also I think it takes a certain amount of deep listening to communicate your truth. Because as you mentioned, people not working out their issues in the first lower three chakras, sometimes people are actually talking from those chakras. Like you said, anger, or maybe somebody who's just obsessed with sex. Mm-hmm. They might just always say something with weird sexual connotations. So this communication in the throat chakra, it feels like you're talking to someone's spirit, or they're talking from a deep level. It's very sincere, and it's the kind of conversation where you're listening, and then, you know, that not there's no interrupting.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the other person, and then you speak, and there's something that almost goes beyond words.
So there's a deeper connection from the absolute listening.
Yes.
And most people, when they're listening to somebody else talk, are already planning what it is they want to say.
Exactly. And I even have a tonic in there. Someone served it at a dinner party, and they said that everybody spoke about controversial subjects like religion and politics, and they were all listening and speaking and not disagreeing, and they had this amazing conversation. And she secretly served it, so she didn't, and people didn't know anything about chakras, so I was very excited when I heard that story.
Oh, that's great. That's a great little story to have somebody actually try it out and see how the whole evening goes with it.
Yeah.
The group of people. Okay, so we're up to the throat.
So the next chakra is the brow chakra, which is your intuition center.
Mm-hmm.
And the color is purple.
Mm-hmm.
And the element is light. And the gland is the pineal gland, which regulates light. And it actually produces melatonin. And it produces another hormone that you need when you're going into labor.
Oh, really?
I think it might be Pitocin. Yeah. So the pituitary is, it's actually regulated by light. And if you think of comparing light to Earth, think of the vibration, the speed of light compared to the speed of Earth. So this is a much higher vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clairvoyance, clear thinking. Also, I think of it as very inspirational. You start to get into the last two chakras, and it's inspiring thought, not just thinking and rationalizing and intellectual thought, but very inspired ideas. I think a lot of brilliant artists and scientists really know how to use these upper chakras.
Yes.
And then the final chakra, the final physical chakra, is the crown chakra, which is called the thousand-petaled lotus.
Mm.
And I think of this as it's a connection to the divine. It's like a giant antenna that we have out to the cosmos, and we can connect to universal life force, universal beingness, and everything that's not separating us in the lower chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And the element is actually thought.
Really?
So if you think about it, no pun intended, the thoughts create our world. They create the earth. So we must first think of something. If we have an idea, say we want to build a house, you have to think of what does that house look like?
Yes.
And envision every room. So
right.
We begin with the visioning, and then we have to go through every stage of creation until it's manifested in the earth plane.
So everything does start from a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Even our own sicknesses, I think.
Exactly.
Everything in our physical bodies. Start from a thought. So how does thought? How do you think thought either interferes or assists this crown chakra?
Well, I call it an antenna, and if we're not grounded, that's why I think it's very important to be grounded. I happen to be a person that I've always been very ethereal. I was called a space cadet in school. And I was already more in tune with that cosmic plane. That was easy for me. Some people are more into the earth plane, and they need to do things to enhance the more cosmic levels, the inspirational levels. I needed to connect more so that I could bring in the thoughts that I wanted to bring in. So I say that the crown chakra can act as a doorway. It can allow dynamic energy from the cosmos, or it can allow other entities. Some people call it channeling.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know how to tune your own crown chakra, you could just be, like you were saying, radio waves. You could just be tuning into all different stations and not be able to pick the station that you want to listen to.
So you could actually be interfered with by other entities.
Yes, yes.
If your crown chakra, say, is open and you're receiving information and you're not deciphering whether it's your own or not.
Yeah, and I think that unfortunately happens to people, and then they're called crazy. And I think I've had experiences where there's someone who's quote unquote crazy, but they might say something very profound 1 minute or scattered, but I know
yes.
that they really are in tune on some level, but they can't quite come back to that earth plane. They're not grounded. Something blew them out, and then maybe they were given some medication or something, because we don't know how to handle people that
yes.
open up quickly, and then we don't know how to bring them back to earth. I think a lot of very powerful psychics, that unfortunately happened to them. They didn't know how to reconnect.
Oh, yeah. That's a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have all of the seven chakras. And is there any outside of the physical body?
Yeah, there's there's chakras in every joint in the body.
Oh.
And but the other, I call them the minor chakras, are in the hands and the feet.
Uh-huh.
And then there's some above the head. And those have to do more with supernatural things like telekinesis, the ability to move things with your mind, or things that we normally an average person wouldn't either be interested in developing these abilities, or they might not believe they're true. But
mm-hmm.
And there's many great masters like Sai Baba who can manifest things just out of thin air. And
right.
So he has developed these upper chakras. And he's really bringing things from out of the body into the physical world.
Yes. How would you know when, what's your clue to one of your chakras being out of balance?
Well, I think each one is different. But yeah. when you feel in tune and you feel good,
yeah,
that's the best clue. And you were talking about people might not believe in the chakras.
Uh-huh.
I feel the same. I feel that, to me, the chakras are like our internal, plumbing system, or just like, I don't know how my car works. I have to take it to a mechanic.
Right.
But I know when there's something not quite right.
Not right with it. Yeah.
And I'm not interested in learning about a car. Some people aren't interested in learning about the chakras.
Right.
But they might do something. They might have an inclination, like, I either need to go to the doctor, I need to get a massage. They'll have an intuition about how to heal themselves. And I
right.
think that they're healing their chakras in that way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I read in your book that the chakras actually store information, data.
Yes.
What kind of information are they storing? Are they storing like all of our history, all of the information, or everything that we've put them through?
I think they are, and I think they store everything.
Uh-huh.
I see them as little computers.
Uh-huh.
What we can change though is the charge.
Hard drives.
Yeah, they're little hard drives, but sometimes the charge on certain memories is what we want to balance, or we want to go in and reprogram, so to speak. The
yeah,
analogy,
you wanted to clean them out. Or?
Yes, yes. Just like you, and you might have, you might be over. Another thing that can happen is that the chakras can be overstimulated.
Uh huh.
Get so much information, so many things could happen to you. Say you have a very busy 24 hours, and you run into somebody you haven't seen in 20 years, and then you go to a party, and all these things happen. And you go home that night and you can't even sleep. Oh, it'd be just like if you tried to load some program on your computer, download something, and your computer's just spinning and spinning because you haven't been able to integrate everything into the present moment.
Uh-huh.
So that, in that way, the chakras can get out of balance by having too much stimuli, or perhaps yeah. something is stimulated from the past that we need to
to release or let go of?
Yes. Uh-huh. So, because overstimulation can be as much as bad a problem as understimulation.
Yes, I think that's in the times we live in now, that's usually more of an issue.
Uh-huh.
I mean, sometimes things are shut down because we just shut them down, just like your computer would shut down when something's not working. It just, if you get a virus or something, everything just goes kaput.
Yes.
And then you just might stay there. But if you know how to, get in there, or if you know how to work with the chakras, you can think about what chakra is not working, and you can start to stimulate that chakra and get it back to speed.
Uh-huh. And now, is that, I'm sure that there must be, like, you're a yoga teacher, so yoga, you said that the seers originated yoga from animals, watching animals.
Yes.
And they also saw the wheels of these chakra systems. They probably saw all the colors, and they saw them spinning, and and they saw when they weren't working to their fullest capacity. Mm-hmm. So does yoga help to bring the chakras into balance?
Oh, I think very much so. I mean, yeah. I actually teach a class here in San Francisco every week, and I focus on a different chakra. And I can go through the first, the more earthy chakras are, very grounding poses where you use your legs and your lower body. I mean, if you think about where the spine is, you could just think of what poses work on the different areas of the spine.
Uh-huh.
And yoga is so important even if you don't, quote unquote, believe in the chakras, you know how important the spine is. We have to have that part of our body. We have to have
it has to be aligned, and it has to be feeling good.
Yes. So, the root chakra, standing poses, anything where you bend your knees and connect to the earth.
Uh-huh.
And that also helps to connect with the feet, which are very important to the lower chakras. And then the hip opening is very good for the second chakra. The third chakra, you can do things like, the boat pose, abdominal work, and the bridge pose.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like a gentle back bend where you're doing a, lifting the stomach up off the floor and have your shoulders on the floor.
Yes.
And then anything that, back bends are important for the heart chakra.
Oh.
So, and shoulder openers, because many people you can see, especially as they get older, they get very slumped. And the way we work on computers and, sit in chairs, it's very hard to keep that heart chakra open, which is one of the reasons I think that there's such widespread depression. One of the reasons, there's many, but because we're not actually keeping our heart center open.
Uh-huh.
And then the throat shoulder stand, which is where you have your legs in the air and you have your head at that angle. So your chin is right towards your chest.
Yes.
And then headstand and handstand, anything where you're upside down stimulates the upper chakras. So headstand and handstand are really good for the sixth and the seventh.
Now, right after we've finished with our interview tonight, my daughter and I are going straight in to do yoga. So
good.
I'm going to take all of this into consideration and work on our chakras.
Yeah, I think it makes your practice more fun because you can you can think about what issues you're working on, because we're always working on different issues.
Mm-hmm.
Going through sometimes people call the chakras the ladder to God, the ladder to enlightenment.
Oh.
So as you work through your issues, you can think of, when you have your mind on what's happening and you know that that pose is taking you to that place, then that really helps to stimulate the healing in the chakras.
Excellent. Thank you for that. That's good information. Has science identified the chakras in any way?
Not in a way that they could put them under a microscope.
Uh-huh.
But
because it's not on a physical plane.
Yes, but I'd say the ductless glands are the closest thing.
Uh-huh. But it's like with Chinese medicine, the meridians, they're invisible too, but now they're accepted.
That's true. Yes.
As a reality, because with acupuncture, acupressure, they need to use the meridians to get the energy flowing again.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes?
Yeah. What are nadis, and how do they correlate with chakras?
Oh, the nadis are the streams that emanate from the chakras. So there's varying accounts on how many there are, But streams of invisible energy that flow through your body. And there's some main nadis. There's the Sushumna, which runs along the spine. And I always, when I do my yoga classes, I always try to have people breathe into their spine to clear out that main channel where the chakras lie.
When you're saying a stream, is it like a stream of energy?
Yeah.
Because when I do yoga and I do, say, a forward bend, and I come up, and if I do anything going backwards, you know, if I go up to the mountain and I go back a little bit, when I bring my arms down, I feel this rush of energy going internally through my arms to my fingertips, as if it's shooting out my hands.
Yeah, well, that's your hand chakras, and there's a connection from your heart, your hands, and your throat. So all those, it sounds like you're feeling that connection.
Yeah. Does that have anything to do with the nadis?
Yeah, I mean, those are nadis. Those are main nadis, and there's also there's the Ida, the Pingali, and those are the male and female. And they, when you look at the medical symbol, I can't remember what it's called, the Kiki.
And is it two snakes that cross over to each other?
Yeah, and that's the symbols of the main nadis.
I see. Interesting.
And that's what spins the chakras, the polarity of the Ida and the Pingala.
Now, let's take a little. Your book is quite interesting. I want to let our listeners know the who I'm talking to and the name of your book again. My guest is Elise Marie Collins, and her book is Chakra Tonics: Essential Elixirs for the Mind, Body, and Spirit. Elise, in your book, you've written about balancing our pH levels and the importance of that. And I would love for you to tell us a little bit about that, why it's so important to keep our pH levels of our body in balance.
Well, the pH is potential for hydrogen. And when your pH is out of balance, which happens to a lot of us, because we eat a lot more processed foods, and processed foods don't have as much, they're not as life-giving. When we have a low pH, the pH of our body is 7.4.
That's a healthy body.
That's a healthy body. Most of us are unfortunately very, a little bit less than that.
So we're going into the acidic rather than alkaline.
Yes, and the pH is measured when you're like, the difference between a 7.2 and a 7.3 is exponential. So it might not seem like that, might not seem that bad, but it's like an earthquake. It's 10 times bigger each one.
Yes.
So there can be people that are too alkaline for different reasons, but most people need to have more fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, and even our water. Most of the water that's filtered, because they take out, when they take out the toxins, they take out alkaline minerals.
They take everything out, I guess.
Yeah, so minerals like calcium, magnesium, and other trace minerals help to alkalize water and food. And most of those minerals you can find in vegetables and fruits.
So it's important to continuously replace that, obviously, with organic vegetables and fruits, if possible.
Yes.
Because I would imagine that anything that's toxic is probably going to be acidic. I don't know if that's true or not, but things like pesticides, hormones, additives, color dyes, and all of that. Are they acidic?
Yeah, I believe most. I can't say every, but I think most toxins are acidic.
Meat is very acidic.
Yeah, meat is very acidic.
And dairy products.
Yes. And interestingly enough, those are foods and dairy. Yeah, different foods and drinks that are associated more with the earth plane. So protein, it is more, those things are more grounding. But the lighter foods like lettuce or you know, light vegetables are thought of as more enlightened foods, and even, you know, a vegetarian diet is what most yogis or people on a spiritual path,
yes,
are taking, absolutely, a lighter diet.
Absolutely. And there's really good reasons for that too.
Mm-hmm.
Not only if you're an animal activist and don't want to eat meat, but the yogis, as you're saying, they choose to not eat meat because of many different reasons, but one of them is because they want to reach the highest plane that's possible in human existence in,
mm-hmm,
this lifetime that they're living.
Yeah.
And therefore, everything that they eat has a vibrational frequency and a karmic debt.
Yes.
You know, so if you're eating a lettuce or vegetables or fruits, the payback for that is minuscule in comparison with beef, let's say, because the denser the food is, the more karmic debt there is to pay back for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if you've heard of the gunas.
Yes.
Yeah. So a sattvic diet is what you would probably want for a spiritual path. And all the recipes in my book are sattvic, and they're believed to be the foundation for a higher consciousness.
Now, could you explain for our listeners what that means?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the Ayurvedic perspective, which is ancient Indian medicine, they thought that the universe had three qualities, and that those three qualities influence all of life. And these qualities are in foods, drinks, and they're also in everything we do. It's a part of the energy.
Is that the Rajas, Tamas, and
exactly,
Sattva?
Yeah. So Sattva is the creative process, uh-huh, and imagination and inspiration.
Uh-huh.
And Rajas is the fire. And
yes. That's like garlic and onions.
Yeah, aggressive and, you know, yeah, fiery, aggressive.
Yes.
And I think I have in my book, someone rushing or multitasking when you're preparing a meal would be making rajasically.
Yes.
And even the way you prepare food.
Absolutely.
Is important because that, yeah.
I agree with you.
And even, I mean, I know that when I'm making a meal and I'm not in a good space or I'm upset or angry, you know, I'll put the wrong thing in, or I'll pour too much of something.
You
we'll
know,
taste that.
Do you remember Rajneesh?
Yes.
Bhagavan Rajneesh?
Mm-hmm.
He was very specific when choosing a chef or a cook,
mm-hmm,
for his food, because he was so sensitive and so highly tuned that if the cook was upset or angry when cooking, he would feel it in his stomach,
yeah,
as an upset, because the frequency of the food was actually changed because,
yeah,
of the energy of the cook.
Uh-huh, I know, yeah.
Even I did a little test once. I had a big dinner party here at my home once, and I decided to test whether or not the thought process could really influence the food. And so I was cooking, I think it was a soup or something, and so as I was stirring clockwise,
mm-hmm,
I was putting the thought into the food that this food is so nourishing and so good for the immune system, and whoever eats it is going to feel, they're going to taste that, and someone at the dinner table will express it verbally, is what I put into the soup. And do you know, when we sat down to eat dinner, we were halfway through the soup when one of the guests said, "Who cooked this meal tonight?" And I said, "Oh, I did," because sometimes we have a cook come. We had a cook at that time come in and cook. And I said, "I did." And he said, "Oh, you should cook every night. And this is so good. I feel like it's so enriched and I feel stronger for it." And it was amazing. He almost said word for word what I had put into the food.
Wow.
And so now I'm a true believer.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So our frequency when we're creating our food is really important.
Oh, I believe so, yes.
So you've created these amazing tonics. Let's talk about the tonics from your book, Chakra Tonics.
Okay.
And they're elixirs.
Mm-hmm.
So if say, for instance, we wanted to balance all of our chakras, what would you suggest?
All of the chakras?
Yes, if, like one at a time. Like, say we started on the root chakra. What would you suggest we would drink?
On the root chakra, you could start with something like almond milk, which would be a wonderful sattvic protein. A light. It's a almond milk has always been a food, or not a drink, that's consumed by vegetarian monks and nuns in the Middle Ages, and it's very popular in a lot of like raw food cooking. So you soak the nuts, and they're much better for you if they're sprouted. So when you soak the nuts, it sprouts them and brings out enzymes. You can soak them overnight or a few hours, and then you add purified water, a little vanilla, and then a sweetener of your choice. Like I talk about different alternative sweeteners besides processed sugar, like agave or xylitol or stevia.
Yeah.
And then you just blend that. If you want to make it really, really good, you can peel the almonds. I like it that way because it's a little bit less bitter, but some people don't want to be bothered.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. But actually, if you pour hot water on them right before, you can do it pretty quickly.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It helps them to peel easier?
Yeah, when the hot water's on them.
Oh,
blanching.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So that would be a really grounding tonic. That, for me, is really good because I need that earth connection.
Yes.
Especially in the morning because you've just come off of the astral plane. You've been out there dreaming, and then you need to come back to the earth. So, and sometimes we skip breakfast. I talk about that in the last chapter, one of the last chapters in the book, about it's important to have something in the morning.
And I've often heard that the breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Do you think that?
I think so, because for me, I need it to be grounded. If I have a good breakfast, it really literally throws me off balance, because I need that root connection so that I can go on and do the enlightening things that I like to do.
Yes.
So for the second chakra, I love fennel tea, and that's so easy. Fennel and ginger.
I love fennel and ginger too.
And that's something, you know, it doesn't take a lot of work. You can just peel some ginger. I try to make all the recipes pretty simple. I know I could have gone overboard and made things that took 10 ingredients, but
people like, I think most of our listeners today, they want a quick fix. They want to be able to throw it together quickly and feel like they're doing themselves something good.
Yeah, and that's how I want to use fresh ingredients, but I don't want to be running around. I mean, I love to shop, but if I have the ingredients and I can make this. Okay, I've got this fennel and I've got this ginger. This is easy. And I don't have to think, I've got to go to the store and get X, 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 and Y.
Yes. Now, is ginger classified as Rajas because it's a hot kind of plant?
I don't think so. I think that it's known as the universal, healer. So it's got a very interesting, you know, I think it's good for all chakras, but it's especially good for the lower chakras.
Yes.
And digestion. So good for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
So it may stimulate, but it's not so stimulating that it's excessively stimulating.
Okay.
It's definitely a sattvic. It's probably a little bit on the stimulating the digestive fire.
Yes.
But not so much that it could throw you off balance. It's pretty much good for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Ayurveda.
Sounds excellent and very tasty, some of these tonics.
Yeah. I like tasty things too. That's so for the third chakra, the belly chakra, there's a couple different things you could make. I have pineapple papaya smoothie, which maybe make there. And that is both of those, pineapple and papaya, have amazing enzymes that help for digestion.
Yes.
And so also if you need, like some people have, there's a lot of people have different belly issues.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have like acid reflux.
Uh-huh.
And the adrenals, like I said, they are sometimes associated with the root chakra and they're sometimes associated with the the belly chakra, because they're actually right in the area behind the belly.
Yes.
And I think that they're kind of associated with both. I think that we have the inclination, you know, we need to survive and maybe run quickly away from a car or a wild
yes.
animal.
Yes.
But the energy, so that we need that energy from the belly chakra.
Uh-huh.
So all the chakras really are, they don't, you know, they're, you can't really separate them. That's the other thing.
Yes, they work in conjunction with one another.
Yeah, and they, it's important. I think the West, in our Western way of thinking, we always want to separate and classify everything, but they're so interrelated.
Mm.
And
now, Elise, we're not going to have time today to go through all of the mm-hmm. wonderful tonics that you have. I think our listeners are going to have to pick up a copy of your book instead.
Okay.
And go, you know, get chakra tonics and learn about these wonderful essential elixirs for the mind, body, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to ask you, do you have a website that our listeners could go to if they wanted to check out, or how can they get a copy of your book?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon.com,
okay.
Barnes & Noble. It is at Barnes & Noble's bookstores, and I have a website. It's chakratonics.com.
Well, that's easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
And chakra is spelled C-H-A-K-R-A.
Mm-hmm.
Chakratonics.com. Before we finish, can you tell me, just to let our listening audience know, what the effects of anger, fear, and jealousy have on our pH balance and what that, you know, how that interferes with our health?
Actually, thoughts have an important impact on our pH, because thoughts actually can, and stressors, all those things that you've mentioned are stressors. So in the scientific realm, they might not be able to differentiate, but it's known that when you're stressed, the first thing that happens is you don't breathe as deeply.
Yes.
And your breath is very important for your pH. So, and the other thing, we didn't mention this, but sodas are really, not only do they have lots of sugar, but sodas like Coca-Cola or any kind of soda like that has a pH of 2.5. So you need to drink 32 glasses of alkaline water, not just any old water, but water that's not acidic.
To bring your balance back up after drinking a soda?
Mm-hmm.
32. I don't drink soda, haven't done for nearly 20 years, but oh my goodness, when you think of children drinking sodas every day.
Yeah, and they're, and the kids, they can bring their bodies, you know, they're, luckily their bodies are running at such a high frequency that they can adjust to that, but I think that they're, it catches up with them.
Absolutely, and I think what's really important for our listening audience to realize is that when your body is acidic, that is where cancer starts.
Exactly.
In an acidic body. And that's the reason that I keep bringing this pH up, because that it's really, really important to have extremely good health, supreme health, which is what I'm always looking for, to really be in tune with your pH.
Yeah. And it has to do with oxygen, too. And oxygen is a life-giving property. So when you have more oxygen, when you have more positive thoughts,
yes,
that's when you're more alkaline and your body's in balance. And I think we intuitively know that, but it's nice to have the science to back that up.
Absolutely. So thinking positively changes the pH balance of your body.
Yes.
Into more alkaline from acidic.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. We like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about meditation, love, and compassion? What kind of effect does that have on the pH?
The same thing. I mean, when you're thinking loving thoughts, you're usually deep breathing, which is bringing more oxygen into your system.
Mm-hmm.
And that has an immediate effect on your pH.
Aha. Uh-huh. And meditation, of course, I always start my meditation off with a breathing exercise to
mm-hmm.
cleanse the lungs and to detoxify the blood.
Yes, and that's bringing you up to your, that's when you, the air center
yes.
is the heart. So when you start to open up in that heart center, then you start to bring yourself into that balance. Yeah.
Excellent.
There's actually a book, Alkalize or Die, and he goes into a lot of details about how different foods. I think he has a lot of measurements for pH of foods, and he talks about loving thoughts and compassion and how that's alkalizing.
That's beautiful. Elise, I want to thank you so much for this interview today and all of this wonderful information that you've shared with us. And again, to let our audience know, Chakratonics is Elise's title of her book. It's Elise Marie Collins, Essential Elixirs for the Mind, Body, and Spirit. Elise, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Sure.
It's been a real pleasure. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Aloha from Hawaii.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Dr. Ann West. I'll be back next week with more Truth from the Source. Join me again on bbsradio.com every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll bring you more cutting-edge interviews discussing important life, health, environmental, and metaphysical issues that could affect the well-being of our lives. Dr. Ann West at www.drannwest.com. See you next week.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.